Then soap, I hope you'll give a listen to it. Brother James, you come on.
Good evening. Welcome to our auction. Tonight we have four souls that we'll be auctioning off, which I'm sure you'll find worthy of your investment. Our first soul this evening is Jose Ramirez. Jose is a 15-year-old boy from Colima, Mexico, with a dream of coming to America to start a business and live that, of course, American dream. Is there anyone here that would bid for his soul?
I will. This will be a simple bid right here. Hello, Lucifer, God of this world. Jose has hopes and dreams, huh? I will crush them. I will kindle a desire in his heart for power and earthly possessions. He'll be forced to join the cartels in Colima, for that city is mine. He'll never be able to leave it. He's going to do everything that I demand of him, without question. It'll be easy. Because of this, he'll have to die young and face an eternity and eternal fire. That's my bid for this soul.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would bid for this soul?
Wait. I can't send live boxes.
We have a bid for this soul. We are not willing to let Jose die and go to a devil's hell. We are willing to take him into our homes and love him and show him the love of Jesus Christ. We're willing to train him and show him that Jesus died on the cross for him and train him that the power of this world is not the power he should seek, but the power of God, that he should not follow his own will, but follows God's will. We're willing to take him into our home and give everything we have to show him that. And then one day when he becomes of age, Jose will go and he will travel to America, but not to become a businessman. He will travel to America to study, to be a missionary, to go back to those same cartels he was going to be a part of, to reach them with Jesus Christ and his gospel. This is my bid for this soul.
That is a far greater bid.
What?
This soul is sold to our missionary to Mexico. Our next soul this evening comes to us from Haiti. Michael John Baptiste is 14 years old, and though he has no father, he wants to do something great with his life. Is there anyone who would bid for this soul?
I will also bid for this soul. There is greatness in him. I will make him one of my greatest servants. Oh, this will be beautiful. Everyone will think he is worshiping God when he's really just worshiping me. I will tell him how to dress. I will tell him how to act. And I will demand that he obeys all that I tell him to do. He will put on a glorious show as he goes around leading hundreds of thousands of followers into eternal damnation. Because he will have hands for God, but his heart will be mine. Many will find this to be an abomination, but I see it as magnificent. Relish it. That's my bid for this soul.
Okay, is there anyone else who would bid for this soul?
I'll bid for that soul. I'll take Michael. Tell him how great the Heavenly Father is. And I'll teach him and I'll disciple him. And he'll become a preacher. And he'll love God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. And he'll be real. And he'll love God. And when it's all said and done, he'll say, he'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
That's the far greater bid. This soul is sold to the missionary to Haiti. Our third soul comes to us from Baltimore, Maryland. Bethany Joy is a 16-year-old young lady with a desire to be a successful businesswoman. Is there anyone here that would bid for her soul?
I'll bid on the soul. This time, I'll just go ahead and give her everything that she desires. She'll just go ahead and be a successful real estate mogul who makes millions. She will live in huge, glorious mansions all across the country, drive only the fastest cars, and wear only the latest in fashion, and be empty inside. She'll continue for a while to chase the riches of this world, trying to gain more and more and more, never to fill the void that is in her. She'll even try religion. She'll get baptized, but it'll be for nothing. She'll even go ahead and put a whole bunch into the missions fund and into the offering plate. But the depression will just get to her. She'll try to commit suicide multiple times, failing each and every one. But eventually, die she will, alone, miserable, until eternity hits her. That's my bid for this soul.
Is there anyone else that would bid for her soul?
We would like to bid for that soul.
We would like to bid for Bethany and show her that God has a plan for her life. We will raise her up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and teach her and show her that she can store up treasures in heaven, not just on earth. We'll raise her with love and care and surround her with a family that'll love her and show her the true meaning of life. She will get saved and she will go on and lead a successful Christian life and have true happiness. That is our bid for this soul.
That's clearly the far greater bid. Sold to our couple from Florida. Our last soul this evening comes to you from your own home city, Haines City, Florida. In fact, his neighbor is a member of Landmark Baptist Church. Trevor here is 15 years old with a desire to serve his country in the armed forces. Is there anyone here that would bid for his soul?
I will also bid for this soul, and this one will be mine. I won't start with him. His neighbors from Landmark, that's easy enough. They're always just too busy. They're always serving God in the ministry. Everyone that comes across his path, oh, I wish I could have given him a tract, but I left it in the glove box. Oh, I would love to stop and talk to him, but I can't because I'm just so busy in the ministry. There's so much going on. Why do we do so much? It'll be so easy. Eventually, the depression will take him because no one's talking to him. So I'll send him some friends, so-called, that'll go ahead and help drag him down. The depression will take in, and I'll be sure that no one ever, ever, can you hear me? Ever tells him of God's love. I will take his family. I will take his foundations. I will take his friends. I will take his future. I will take everything. The pain will be so much for him. The loneliness, wishing that somebody just had loved him, that eventually he will try to end the pain and be successful this time. Only to discover the pain of hellfire far outweighed everything I sent his way. That's my bid for this soul. See if you can do better, sir.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would bid for his soul? Is there anyone? Is there anyone that would bid for this dear man's soul? Anyone at all? There's no one that would bid for his soul? Anyone?
Do your job, sir.
Anyone going once? Anyone going twice? Sold to Lucifer.
There has to be a mistake. There's a mistake. There has to be someone. There's a mistake. It's a mistake. I promise. Look, I thought y'all loved me. Y'all, I went to y'all church. I thought y'all loved me. Why did y'all not tell me? Why did no one tell me? Why? Why did no one tell me? I thought y'all loved me. No!
Another soul is mine. Thanks for making it easy on me.
That concludes tonight's auction. Please join us again tomorrow and make your bid for a lost soul.
Sobering, isn't it? Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and go to Philippians chapter number 1. Our theme verse tonight, our theme was unto the furtherance of the gospel. We don't often think about the souls when we speak of souls as being real. Skit like that puts it in perspective with people that we care about, that we can see, people that we realize will spend eternity if we don't reach them. And I'll just say this, a lot of times we don't picture them about being on an auction block and that decisions will determine their destiny, and just not just their decisions, but ours. You and I can't always determine whether they will accept Jesus Christ, but we can determine whether they have the gospel presented to them. In light of the message, if I could say this tonight, is just I want you to think about the skit. And then the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is someone who was so zealous about religious things, but on his way to hell himself. A doctor of the law, well-learned, well-educated, had a good pedigree. A Pharisee of the Pharisees, yet still on his way to hell. And it took a moment, Jesus showing up in his life and striking him down in the road, and then Paul enters into a life of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can talk about the gospel, but the go of the gospel is really to go. Whether it is to go across the street, to go to your neighbor, go to your family, to go to a foreign land and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The scripture in verse number 12, the Apostle Paul says, but I would you should understand. Tonight, I want you to just take that passage of scripture, and I preached it Sunday, but I want you to see it again as this. Paul really wants us to understand. The only way the gospel, why missions conference? Why bring missions into the church? And we already believe in the gospel. We believe in sending Bibles. We believe all that. But do we understand? The book of Proverbs teaches us that first we have to have the beginning. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And knowledge leads us to understanding, and understanding leads us to wisdom. Most of us, an understanding is us putting it into practice. Many of us today came in with the knowledge that people that do not accept Jesus Christ die and go to a devil's hell. But do we understand it? You know, sometimes, everybody in my family, preacher, is saved. That's not everybody's testimony. But it's a sobering thing when one of those people you love rejects Jesus Christ and you didn't tell him one more time. You felt the burden to go by. You felt the responsibility weighing on you to share it with your neighbor or your best friend or somebody that you care about, and they die and go to a devil's hell. And listen, that's when you begin to understand. Tonight, some of our teenagers that we know and love, even though we changed their name and their country, I don't know about you, but it wasn't great seeing my daughter on the auction block where she was going to spend eternity. I'm thankful that somebody, even though that wasn't her name and she's not from Baltimore, Maryland, I'm thankful that somebody made a bid for her soul, because it was real to me, even though we changed the names to protect the innocent, right? Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, it becomes real. We get an understanding when we realize. Do you know what happens when you go? I talked to the Orrs just a little bit. You know what they have probably more than any of us, even in missions conference? They just came back from a mission trip. Your eyes affect your heart. When you're there and you see the people and how hungry they are for the gospel and for the word of God, how desperate they are, some of them, walking through their life of religion, having no spiritual truth, feeling that their works will get them to heaven. Do you know most of the world is locked down in a works religion, and they believe that they're going to be good enough, or they hope. The world is not full of hope. They're hoping that their works will be enough, that what they've given to the church is enough. He says, but I would ye should understand, brethren. Who's he speaking to? Is he speaking to just people everywhere, or is he speaking to the church? If anyone, listen, who is the good news of Jesus Christ, and what is the Great Commission? Who's it given to, church? It's given to us, to the brethren. We can't expect some unsaved group to go out and pass Bibles out. They're going to pass out blankets. They're going to give ham and turkey. They're going to take food and medicine around the world. But what a true person who believes in Jesus Christ that is in a local church, knew what we care about most? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we will give them medicine. Why? Because we want to keep them alive, because we care about their soul. We'll give them food. Why do we give them food? Because we want them to stop and hear the gospel. They want us to realize that we care for them, not just physically, but spiritually. Folks, I'm just telling you, we got to get an understanding. We have to realize that it's only the brethren or this local church that here locally that we have to see it as our mission, not just here in Haines City, but around the world. That is our responsibility. He goes on and he says this. I think we ought to take this to heart. He says, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Do you know, I don't know what happened to you and why you're here tonight. You may have chosen to move to Haines City. You may have been born here. You may have come to Bible college and you're here. You could have been like me and surrendered to preach and feel the call of God on your life to be in this place. I don't know why God brought you here, but that all these things have fallen. We've fallen in together to advance the cause of Christ. God brought us together not just for fellowship, not so we could have an international banquet, although that was wonderful. And tonight I'm a full gospel preacher. But it's unto the furtherance of the gospel. Boy, a church isn't a church if it isn't trying to get the gospel around the world. It isn't much of a church if all we worry about is each other. We ought to love each other. But the Bible says we ought to provoke each other. Tonight, you say, well, boy, that was a serious skit tonight. It was meant to provoke us. provoke us to realize that people are dying and going to hell, not just from Haines City, but from around the world. You know, imagine how many people. He made the statement, 1.5 billion people have never had a word, a copy of the Word of God in the world. 5,000 languages that the Bible's never been translated into. You say, preacher, how can that be? Because some of them are just spoken languages. If you're going to translate the Bible, you have to pen their language down first. And then make an alphabet, right? I mean, make an alphabet for it, and then teach them how to read their own spoken language. Why would you go through that? Because the Bible is just that good and that needed. What would you know about the Word of God without a Bible? What would your relationship with Jesus Christ be like if you did not have a copy of the Word of God? People that have come into our church recently, sat, joined the church, talked to them, had another meeting with them, and I just kind of noticed that the Bible that they were holding on to, it wasn't a pure Bible. They're brand new people, brand new saved. They didn't know. I said, I see you're carrying a different kind of copy of the scripture there than I have. And he tried to it's kind of hard, you know, kind of preach against all kinds of stuff. And he said, I realize that sometimes what you're reading isn't what's in my Bible. But when I save up enough, I'm going to get one of them, preacher. I'm going to get one. You know, we just got these because we were told that these were the easiest to read. And I said, brother, I want you to have a copy of the Word of God. And I went over in my office, and listen, it breaks my heart when I realize I keep copies of the Word of God so I can give it to people in my office when they get saved or when they need one. And I took copies of the Word of God, and he said, and I mean, listen, it was enough that he got one. I said, I have one here for your wife as well. I want both of you to have a copy of the scripture. This burgundy one, you give it to her, and this blue one I want you to have. And it's got study notes in it. I want you to read the Bible and to grow. Now, the words at the Bible aren't, they're not Bible. They're just study helps. I know you've been reading a Bible that doesn't have these and thous and things in it, but those study helps will help you at the bottom. You say, preacher, why'd you do that? Because I know if they're going to grow in the Lord, they're going to have to be in the book. Yeah. Folks, I'm just going to tell you. Are you willing to go? Let me ask you this, church. You know the church's number one job is to help people grow up into the place where they will leave this local church and go. You say, preacher, don't you want the church to grow? I do. But growth isn't always numerical. Sometimes the greatest thing, listen, I'm just going to tell you, some of the greatest churches in all of history will be churches that grew people up and sent them out because that church loved people enough to send people around the world. Missionaries are needed. Can I tell you there's a shortage of them? Do you know what most people want to be? Young people, I want you to listen to me. Most people in this world want to do something in the tech sector. Do you know what is flooded right now? The tech sector. Do you know what most kids study in college today? Philosophy. You know what philosophy is? Study of man. They try to understand man. Do you know who understands man? The person that wrote this book. You say, preacher, why are you saying that? Because we've got to get our go back of the gospel. I wrote some things down. I hope it'll help you tonight. I'm going to finish with this. If you have a pen and you want to write it down, gospel, just put it down, all right? That way you can kind of, how am I going to remember it? Well, go. I'm not going to give those two letters. I'm not even going to separate them. Just go. Go, 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 and go some more till Jesus comes. I believe that God wants people in our church not only to go soul winning, but he wants you to go to the mission field. After he gets past go, he has a big S there. And the local church and the gospel that I put down, we need to send. We need to send money. We need to send people. Even if they can't stay, but to go. Just like the oars just went, we need to send folks to encourage our missionaries. We need to send people in strength to unload Bibles and to pass out tracts and to pass out. We need to have more mission trips, not less. We need to send. We need to send them dollars. We need to send them people. And then P, we need to send them prayers. We need to pray locally for people to be saved and for power in our local church. If you want to know what really is missing in the gospel, it's that P is purity in prayer. We won't keep ourselves pure enough, unspotted from the world, so that we can pray and have power. The gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. Folks, I'm just telling you, that power is on people who are pure and pray and ask God. Because it's God's will to save people. Say, God, use me. You know, God, wherever you want me to go, across the street, I'll just stand here in the parking lot and wait till somebody comes by. Some of the souls that have been won in Haines City, I've watched as I did maintenance, and good college students just decided, I'm going to make myself available, and they walked out to the street. You know how many people pass by the front of our college on a daily basis? Walking by. You ain't got to go nowhere. You just walk out to the street and decide you're going to share it with anybody that comes by. I've watched students out there with their Bible right out in front of the dorms, just talking to them, telling them about how they could go to heaven. We can do that anywhere. Prayer, power, purity. I put down E, evangelism. You want to put P and E together, you could put personal evangelism. It ought to be personal. Prayer to evangelize. You say, what is evangelize? Listen, if you're going to have the gospel, you can't have it without. The gospel means good news. Evangelism, we think, is for some evangelist. You can't share good news. I like to share good news with everybody. We think evangelism or being evangelistic in the way that we live is somehow hard to do. Everybody wants to know about good news. When I first got saved, I had been in church most of my life. But something happened to me when I accepted Christ, and I thought, surely everyone wants to hear what I just received. And I couldn't wait to share it with everybody. But if you're not careful, guess what happens? We lose the enthusiasm of it. People throw enough wet blankets on us and go, I don't know about that. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, we shouldn't cut corners. We ought to be witnesses. You say, what does that mean? That means just simple testimony. Can I tell you the good news that happened to me? The same thing could happen to you if you simply put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we make it hard. God just wants us to tell others about what God has done in us. It'll change their world. I'm not going to hell because of what Jesus did for me. You're not going to hell if you're saved tonight, and you can tell others. They don't have to go there. I know that I'm saved, and you don't have. Listen, you can know you're saved if you do the exact same thing the Bible told me to do. You say, preacher, why you say that? Because they're lost. That big L at the bottom. People are lost. They have no direction. You ever found somebody that looked like they couldn't find their way? They pull up at the stop sign at the end of the road and they put their window down, and you have to make a decision whether you're going to send them out to Timbuktu or actually tell them where they want to go. You say, nobody would send somebody on a wild goose chase. I bet some of you have before. But think about somebody with their eternal destination. There's not a person in this place, if somebody really walked up to you and said, I don't know how to go to heaven, I really would like to know. That wouldn't take the time or take them to somebody that could tell them about how they could move from lost to having eternal life. Folks, I just know this. I see that young man dragged out of the back of the church, kicking and screaming. And I know this. That picture for us tonight, that judgment seat with the gavel, there's going to be a time that we all stand, not in judgment, but in a judgment hall. And all the dead of the earth will be brought down that corridor. Some of those people will be people we know. Having been made in the likeness of Jesus Christ, we will be able to recall when we saw them and who they are to us. That they rode our bus, that they were in our Sunday school class. I mean, most of us can't recall exactly how we know them, but we will then. And when we realize that we know them as they're being drugged out and cast out into eternal fire, we'll look down and we'll see the blood of a person that we could have witnessed to, we could have given a tract to. I think about this. How many times as a Christian in a mission conference, we don't think about this. And I'm not trying to be mean or try to, I just want you to understand what's fallen out to us. Think about how much responsibility you have as a member of the Landmark Baptist Church. The burden has been shared with you. And you will weigh it out, and maybe you'll just be flippant, and I'm just going to give the same old thing, or I won't pray about it. I won't even talk to God about how much I'm going to give. I'm just going to do something because I feel like I have to because I'm a member here. Some of us will be standing, and we won't know that person. But there will have been an opportunity. And the reason the gospel didn't go to them is because we decided not to give. We decided we couldn't. God said, give this, and you went, I can't. I won't. See, people don't do that, preacher. Oh, yes, they do. You're looking at one of them. In my early days of my Christian life, I remember God putting a number on my heart. And I just thought, God, that's too big a number for me. It would take, listen, you know why we call it faith promise? I didn't have enough faith to give that. And I know, I don't know who went to hell that year, where the money would have gone. But I'll tell you this, people die every day. You can look it up on the internet. You can watch the counter. Every 2 seconds, somebody's dying and going to hell. You think that people witness that fast? So do we need more or do we need less? Do we need to fund more? Say, preacher, why are you being so direct with us tonight? Because this is serious. We have to have an understanding of just what's at stake. It isn't just an offering plate that goes by or an envelope. It's somebody's soul for eternity. What are you going to do to further the gospel of Jesus Christ in this missions conference? With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, would you stand to your feet? If God spoke to your heart, maybe he wants you to go. Tonight, don't put it off. Surrender to the cause of missions. If you say, preacher, I believe that God wants us to send, I'm going to start praying for laborers for the harvest. I'm going to beg God that he'll give us missionaries to send forth from this place. I'm going to send money. I'm going to send prayers. I'm going to live pure so that I can pray and that my gospel message will have power. I want to be a part of the evangelism, the evangelistic teachings, preachings, witnessing to the lost of this world. Let's do business with God tonight. Let's not play games. Let's do business with him. People are dying and going to a devil's hell without the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's do business with God tonight. As Brother Burke sings, you step out and come.